Tim Lacombe.
Jake Scott have rejoined us here on a Sunday afternoon. Tim's looking dapper with his coat and tie on. Jake, you're underdressed.
Well, it's Sunday, David. I thought you could get away with being underdressed on a Sunday afternoon, kind of the cash atmosphere. You know, Monster Jam is in town. It's not exactly a black tie event. And look at Tim. He shows up in a suit and tie looking all good. I feel foolish.
If we tipped off at 3 instead of 1, I would have worn my usual Sunday clothes.
So, Tim, you were having a little church service today?
Well, we blessed the grandkid today.
Ah, good.
Number one grandkid, Mr. Hank. So, yeah.
By the way, Tim Lacombe just publicly announced he's a grandfather, which is the whole reason I set this topic up. I just want to point that out.
And well, I told David during halftime that I've got a picture of him with my daughter who had this baby. That's how long David and I know each other. So he was holding her as a little baby, and now she's got her own. So life flies.
And David better watch it. I mean, I know how old his kids are. He's a little bit away from that, but not that far, buddy.
I can't wait to go.
He's
in Grandpa.
A long ways away.
I'm a long way away.
He's a long ways
away.
Right. He better be.
I'm a long way away.
Yeah.
One's 19. He's got 11 years before he can even think about it.
All right, that's fair. Still 11 years goes by like that, right?
Okay, that's fair, but it's not like tomorrow.
No.
David, cool.
Hey,
cool.
The one thing I'll take from today, and I think, Ron, you would totally agree with this. You hear all the time that was a really bad loss. Very rarely do you hear that was a bad win. Because, I mean, the Jazz did not play great in the second half. On offense, I thought in the first half they played really well, but man, when you go out on this type of road trip and play these teams and this compressed and all the different stuff they're dealing with, that's a great win.
Great?
I'm going to say great.
How about professional?
Yeah, I'll go professional. Okay.
Or the phrase I use is good team win. Like not like good team as in like good team effort, but like a good team wins this game.
Yeah. And really, I don't know what you thought, David. I'd be curious to hear. But just seemed like not only just like passing in general in the second half didn't become – it wasn't a thing. It way more isolation, way more guys driving it. The 0.5-second thing, it worked for some, but not others.
Okay, so I thought it was incredible. I'll share this as we get – for those people that are tuning on a Sunday, they'll get this. So, you know, Quinn's coaches shows are interesting. I thought today was particularly interesting about he talked about how the anxiety about COVID that they didn't have in the bubble and how much it's like impacting everyone right now. So I think that's real for these guys, like that every day they're getting tested and you're like, oh gosh, what's going to happen today? But then he talked about spacing and he talked about the 0.5 rule. So that was in our pregame show. So then I brought it up for most of the third quarter, because I agree with you 100%, Tim, that we just stopped moving the ball. It was really stagnant. And then Mike Wells comes on. The first thing Mike Wells says, having not listened to the radio broadcaster, not listened to Quinn Snyder's coaching show, is, you know, we have a rule about 0.5 and we're not doing it. I was like, okay, well, that's really clearly the issue of what's going on then.
Well, 12 assists in the first half, and what did we end up with?
17. But we also were like 0-7 on catch and shoot threes for a while, so assists only work if the shooter makes the shot.
Yeah, I learned that. I learned that from you.
I mean, George and Boyan had pretty good looks on their 0-9, and Royce, you know, Boyan, George, and Royce are over 11 today from 3.
I love the way, like, I thought they started the game transition-wise, too, like pushing that thing, getting out. I think it was a great start to the game, and then they just did what they had to do to, you know, Donovan played well. Donovan played really well. You know, and Rudy to get 20 rebounds, holy smokes, that's playing.
Maybe, you know, if you go back to Donovan's sophomore year, Louisville, his final year, I can't remember if it was sophomore or junior, he's not playing very well, and then Jordan, his sister, has some words for him about how he's playing. So maybe that's what happened to Donovan in New York. Maybe Jordan got on him a little bit because he's put together two great ones.
Yeah, he was just, to me, he was on attack from the get-go, drove that thing. I'm going to add one more piece. I think when you see the guys, in the first half, the direct line drives to create help. You mentioned it on the broadcast, but really hard, strong side drive, defender steps over, dump it to the corner, wide open three. But that's how, like, when the team gets stagnant, that's something to watch for, is who's willing to, you know, lower their head, beat their guy, get to the paint, create opportunities for others. I think, like you said, it got stagnant. Guys stood a little bit, dribbled around too much, and, you know, maybe the Pistons, you know, they kind of lull you to sleep with with their style, but just to me, the fact that they held on, I mean, that got down to a two-possession game with 2 minutes, and they held on and won the game. And to me, when you do that, it's great. Professional.
There we go.
Professional win. All right, David and Ron, enjoy the remainder of your Sunday. You still have some time to do something. Very nice.
I got van cleanup.
Ah, so you're going to be staying around doing extra work after then. Putting
no, I love my van. I'm going to go clean it.
Hey, right. And one last thing, David. Thank you for the pizza, man.
What a guy. I stole a piece from you guys yesterday. At least I could do
it. I know, but
back.
But to do that on the next day, it just says what a kind of guy you are. Thank you.
Yeah, nice. Great Sunday dinner. Yeah, pizza.
Breakfast, tasty. Lunch, and dinner for this kid.
Yeah. That's right.
David, make sure you tell your wife I didn't marinate my fish. That's why I'm going to have fish tonight.
All right.
All right.
There you go.
There you go. All the little inside secrets on a Sunday. Have a good one, guys.
Thanks,
all
right, guys. 96 to 86 is your final. We're breaking it down next on the Jazz Radio Network. Wasn't the prettiest win in the world, but a win nonetheless. The Jazz beat the Detroit Pistons 96-86 at your Jazz Game Night post-game show, brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru, Jake Scott, Tim Lacombe with you. The first quarter, Tim, was a thing of beauty. But the next three quarters, not so much, but managed to hold on and beat this Piston team, which is something that Locke mentioned it, and I believe you did as well. The Suns were unable to do the other night, so... I mean, they kind of withstood this one.
Yeah, and it's probably a good thing, you know, that the Pistons have been really competitive and played teams well and came back from 23 against Phoenix, because I would imagine Quinn had his antennas up a little bit on that. I thought he managed the second half and kind of the lulls. You know, he used timeouts. He kind of stopped the momentum, didn't let that thing get too tight. You know, that last shot, of course, Ellington's going to bank that thing in to cut that thing to 6 or 5. And that's always what happens. But the Jazz did a great job of just figuring out a way to get through it. I agree with you. The first half, or the first quarter particularly, scored 34 points. In the second half, all told, they scored 39. So that kind of tells the story. That first half, the first quarter was very good for the Jazz.
Yes, it was. They scored 34 in the first, 23 in the second, 17 in the third, and 22 in the fourth. So big difference between the first quarter and the rest of the game. But, you know, you look at the Pistons, they had a really good third quarter, no doubt. Got themselves back into the game, scoring 28 points, outscoring the Jazz 28-17. But only scored 21 in the second quarter and only 18 in the fourth. So when it came down to who's going to win this one, the Jazz made the plays they had to make.
They did. And the Pistons have actually scored the ball pretty well this year. You know, in the regular season, this is by far the lowest output point-wise by the Pistons. They scored 119 against the Cavs, 120 against the Hawks. They scored 122 in the loss to the Celtics, or 120 the loss to the Celtics. So they've definitely scored the ball well. So that's one way to look at this. The Jazz defense, you know, held them way, way under their average.
Jazz led by Donovan's 28, Conley's 22, Clarkson at 18 for the Pistons. Jeremy Grant with 28, Blake Griffin with 10. As the Jazz come away with win 96-86. With that, we will say good night, or good afternoon, good evening.
Good day
to our network stations. Our next broadcast is coming your way on Tuesday night. That game will tip off at 5:30. For those of you sticking around with us, we'll have coach and player sound for you and continue to break this one down next on the Jazz Radio Network. Jazz Game Night post-game show. Jake Scott, Tim Lacombe, Jazz beat Pistons 96-86. Post-game brought to you by our friends at Mark Miller Subaru, Utah's only negotiation-free Subaru retailer. Let's get a look at your sharp stats of the game, brought to you by Les Olson Company. Les Olson Company, your office technology partner. Tonight, the Jazz shot 42.2% from the field, 31.4% from three. They were 11 of 35 from three. They were led by Donovan Mitchell, 28 points on 9 of 18 shooting. He was 4 of 8 from 3, 6 of 7 at the line. Donovan had 3 assists, 2 rebounds as well. Mike Conley with 22 points, 6 assists tonight. Rudy Gobert, 4 points, but had 20 rebounds for the 10th time in his career. He also had four block shots. Jordan Clarkson with 18 points coming in off the bench. And Jordan had some key buckets because he was the only one who was really able to score when the rest of the team went ice cold. So he really was a difference maker there in that third and beginning of the fourth quarter.
And he kind of did it just on isolation. You know, the power, I call him the power guard. He just drives that thing right to the restricted arc and gets his, gathers himself and then figures out whether he's going to flip it over his left shoulder or a fadeaway. But, yeah, that's one of the benefits of having a guy who's got, you know, an unlimited way to score. His range is great. Put it on the floor. But, yeah, Clarkson did keep the thing from getting too crazy.
Jeremy Grant had 28 for the Pistons. Blake Griffin, who's just – he's just not the same player he was. 10 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists. It's – you know, we were talking about it, and I don't know if it's injuries or what, but he just – he looks like – it's so casual out there.
Yeah, it's honestly, and this is not like a – because I know he's dealing with a whole lot, but it almost looks like one of those alumni games you go back to, and they bring a guy out. He's a step slow. He has a hard time starting and stopping. What really surprised me right now is he's still getting 33 minutes a game. I can see where, like, him down on the low block in a matchup, like they kept going at, you know, Bojan down there when he's guarding him. So I think when he can get a matchup and create, that's a good way for them to be able to get the ball movement, throw it into him. But, man, him playing 33 minutes a night, he was 1 for 7 from three. He just he did not look very ginger.
No, that's a good way to put it. No, not very ginger.
He didn't move around very good.
All right, let's go back to the Motor City. Quinn Snyder is addressing the media.
That's a really good win. And wins are tough to come by in this league, and particularly after the way we shot the ball against Milwaukee to come back, you know, and not have a good shooting night and win with defense was something that, you know, I don't think we've done that this year to that extent. So in a low scoring game, it was good to see Rudy and Fave control the boards like they did. And we made enough plays to come up with a road win.
All right. We'll go ahead and get Eric Walden, Salt Lake Tribune.
Quinn, it seemed like you guys were kind of rolling right along in the first half. You're up as much as 20. And then you often speak about playing with force. It seemed like some of the force kind of disappeared in the second half. What changed the course of the game?
Well, you know, when you get a 20-point lead, that's a team. They just beat Phoenix. They split with Boston. You know, you're not going to win by 40. So I think the good thing is that when we did, you know, sputter a little bit on offense, that our defense held. You know, I think that them switching, you know, 1 through 5 and pick and roll, we haven't seen that in a little while. And, you know, just being a little more poised in how we attack that. But I think for the most part, you know, even though the offense wasn't great during that stretch, some of it too is, you know, when you're not making shots, you know, things can feel harder, particularly in those situations where they're defending us the way they were. So I'm more, you know, albeit, you know, I agree with you on the offense not being as good, but the offense was really good in the first half. And like I said, for us to be able to get stops when we weren't clicking on offense, I think is something that we, you know, we won a different way this game. And I like that, particularly after such an emotional win against Milwaukee, to come out the way we did. And then, as you said, you know, to weather those storms in the game, they're a good team. They're physical, they're big. So it's a heck of a win.
All right. Kristen Kinney, Jazz TV.
Coach, I know you mentioned this briefly before, but I want to just get more of your thoughts on the concerted effort on the boards tonight. 64-39 advantage, and Gobert 20 favors 14 of those.
Yeah, that was one of the things that, you know, I don't know where they are. Top 5, I think, in second chance points. Maybe higher than that. That's pretty high. So for those guys to be able to wrap up rebounds, I thought in the first half especially, it gave us, you know, a chance to run. To Eric's point earlier, when we got a little bit stagnant. The ball stopped moving the way we wanted, but we weren't giving up baskets and we weren't giving up second chance points. So that was a heck of an effort by both Rudy and Fave holding down the glass against a big team.
Sarah Todd, Deseret News.
Quinn, we saw that you were pretty frustrated in the huddle between the third and fourth period. And I'm just wondering, what was it that had you sort of irked the most?
Well, I think we all were, you know, myself or players, you know, we punched back. You know, I thought they threw some punches and we took the punches and came back. And, you know, that's something our guys take a lot of pride in. And I just felt like, you know, that was within them and they pulled it out of each other. Sometimes they don't need to hear me say too much other than you guys take care of it. And they did tonight. I said it maybe a little more forcefully than that, but that's what I said.
Tony Jones, The Athletic.
Coach, what issues did Jeremy Grant present for you guys tonight? And, you know, what are your thoughts on his offensive progression from when he's come into the league to now?
We talked about that a little before the game. I think those, you know, the way that he played and his progression are kind of one and the same. You know, he's been consistently making threes. He did it against us last year in the playoffs. You can tell he's really confident from the line. And when he's able to put the ball on the floor the way he is, the way he's been doing, you know, it makes it hard. When you have that much length and height, to take away that shot gives him opportunities to drive. And, you know, he's so efficient around the rim. I thought him playing at the three, he's usually going to draw a matchup with a smaller player. And then with Blake on the court and Plumlee, it's tough to come help and not give up the board. So, you know, I thought we did an excellent job trying to stay in front of him. And sometimes he gets to a spot and he's athletic and he's able to get those shots off. And clearly he's playing with a lot of confidence. So, you know, I think he's a heck of a player. And we saw that tonight and we knew that going in.
All right. That's it for tonight. Thank you so much, Coach.
There's Jazz head coach Quinn Snyder. Tim, he called this a good win right out of the gate. And Locke called it professional. I mean, however you want to look at it, when things aren't going your best, but you still come out with a W is a good thing.
Yeah, and when you do this long enough, I mean, telling you, you lose so many games that you feel like you should win. You know, you play well enough and the other team just plays better. Man, when you can get these, yeah, I call every win a great one because really at the end of the day, you just put that now in the W column. You don't even have to think about it. You know, sometimes you lose that game after being up so big and they come back and beat you and it becomes this gnawing thing. So yeah, for them to hold them off, even though it wasn't pretty, I thought it was great. And Quinn really kind of touched on all that stuff. I agree with him. The one piece I will give him, I did think this game was probably won defensively and on the glass. And that's different. You know, the offense has definitely had something to do with most of the wins. Defense has been good. But tonight, to be able to crush them on the glass like they did, that's a great way to be able to win a game. And you certainly don't have to apologize for that.
My favorite question in there was Quinn, you looked upset between the third and the fourth quarter. What was irking you? It's like, well, you were watching, right? Because scored 17
wasn't
in the
going
third,
so
and
good.
It wasn't going so well.
Yeah.
But that's Coach Snyder. He's a passionate guy. I bet he wasn't pleased. And his answer was great. He said, hey, nobody was.
Right.
Nobody was pleased. Nobody was happy with the way things were going. And the fourth quarter went a little bit better, but – you know, they still weren't clicking like we saw against Milwaukee.
The other thing I liked that he said that made a lot of sense is, yeah, they were up 20. But that doesn't automatically mean the other team's going to roll over and you can win by 40. There's still fight. Those guys are pros, and they're going to make a run. And good teams answer runs and hold them off, and the Jazz did that. You can't typically at the end of the year they say how many games you win. They didn't say how did you win them.
Right.
It's just, you know, it's a how many things. So that game's in the W column. You know, there's certainly things that came from it. But learn the lessons and move on.
I want to remind you, Go Where Love Takes You in the completely redesigned 2021 Subaru Outback, available now at Mark Miller Subaru, the official Subaru partner of the Utah Jazz. Learn more at markmillersubaru.com. Your final from Detroit, 96 to 86, coming up next. We'll continue to break this one down. We'll also get you sound from the locker room. Stay tuned. It's Jazz Radio Network. Jazz Game Night postgame show brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru, Utah's only negotiation-free Subaru retailer. Jake Scott, Tim Lacombe, 96-86 is your final. The Jazz make it two in a row with a win over the Detroit Pistons. Let's get a look at your points in the paint brought to you by CertaPro Painters. Call 1-800-GO-CERTA or visit CertaPro.com. That's Certa with a C. We do painting, you do life. Points in the paint tonight. Jazz outscore the Pistons 44-36. And with the way Blake Griffin plays, and Jeremy Grant is not an in-the-paint type of dude, not a surprise that that number was so low for the Pistons.
Yeah, even though Isaiah Stewart comes in and he gives up a whole bunch of size. So this isn't a team that's, you know, looking to try to pound that thing in there.
No, it certainly does not appear that they are. Jeremy Grant, by the way, 9 of 19 tonight, 28 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, averaging about 25 points a game for this Pistons team. Really interesting because, and Locke talked about this a couple of times, but he obviously wanted a bigger offensive role. He was not going to get that in Denver, you know, the way that they play with Jokic and Jamal Murray. And he goes to a team maybe where they're not going to be as good, but he's certainly out to – if he is out to prove a point, he's doing that. I mean, he's really good.
No, he's playing well, and I love his game. You know, kind of watching him in the playoffs last year, and I'd seen him obviously in college a little bit, but, man, he's really improved. And it's hard. It's hard to go from a role player getting limited minutes and kind of spots to – you know, basically having the carpet rolled out to you. And he's done a great job with it. His numbers look good. He's playing hard. And I think this Pistons team over time, you know, as hard as they play, I think games like today, they're going to find a couple more of these things. Their schedule has been pretty brutal. I'm not saying this team's going to, you know, resurrect and make the playoffs or anything like that. But I think they got enough pieces when healthy and guys that play hard that, you know, certainly give him a hand.
All right, let's throw things back to Detroit, where Mike Conley is addressing the media.
First question will come from Ryan Miller, KSL.com.
Hey, Mike. We saw Quinn kind of drop his clipboard in your player settle at the end of the third. What was kind of his message there?
His message right there was that it's nothing on the clipboard, X's and O's wise, that is going to change the game. It's got to be within our team and our mindset defensively and our mindset to run up and down the court. So he put it on us. He didn't draw a play up, told us to go out there and we're not running plays. We're going to go out there and we're gonna play hard and compete and finish the game. So that's kind of what the message was from there on out from our players.
All right. Next up, Ben Anderson, KSLSports.com.
Mike, I know you've talked a lot about kind of the changes in pick and roll between Mark and Rudy, but what's the biggest thing? Is it timing? Is it Rudy's preference? Is it just knowing when to commit one way or other to the defense?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, obviously the biggest difference is Mark kind of spaced the floor in a different way with his 3-point shooting. So, you know, you could always kind of count on the big trying to get back to him. In Rudy's case, the big drops in the paint to prevent his roll. So for me now, I have to hold the ball a little bit longer. Be a little bit more patient in the paint. You know, I'm so accustomed to making reads pretty quickly. And now I just have to just hold the ball one or two more dribbles and, you know, use a couple pump fakes and find them in different ways. And it allows me to, you know, just play a more patient and controlled game when we're in the pick and roll.
Eric Walden, Salt Lake Tribune.
Mike, I'm kind of curious to know what changed from the first half to the second when you guys were rolling along pretty well offensively to the game kind of becoming a little bit mucked up. Was Detroit doing something significantly different in the second half, or was it you guys just kind of being inconsistent with execution?
You know, I think they made the adjustment at halftime to start switching, you know, pretty much all the pick and rolls, which for us ends up, we can get a little bit, you know, sticky with the ball and guys get a little bit too much one-on-one going. And in the first half, you know, they weren't playing that way. We were able to get in the paint and make plays for each other and kind of get the ball spinning around the perimeter in that fashion. But they made the adjustment, and it's an adjustment that a lot of teams have made against us, and happened in our Phoenix game. It's going to happen again in the future. So we're going to have to continue to work on it and figure it out as it goes.
All right. Thank you, Mike. We are done here. Appreciate it.
Mike Conley tonight had a really nice game. Mike, excuse me, scored 22 points, 8 of 13 shooting, 6 assists, and 5 rebounds. I mean, incredibly efficient night tonight for Mike Conley. That was interesting to hear him describe what goes into the pick and roll with a couple of different players.
Yeah, so, you know, he played with Gasol those years, and, you know, as he came off pick and roll, just depending on where the big was, you know, if the big's anywhere in his vision and he sees it's going to be a long recovery to Gasol, as he comes off that screen, it's quick, you know, and that's what he talked about it. Because the defender, they've got to be there to try to show Mike they're there. But the minute they get him somewhat corralled, you know, they're going to retreat. So when he played with Gasol, it almost behooved him better to get rid of the ball quick as soon as he saw a second guy on the ball. And now, as he talks about it, the big's always going to retreat to Rudy, so it's almost holding it, another dribble, a dribble and a half. And we've seen he's gotten creative with the way he leaves the ball for Rudy, and he waits for the roll and maybe gets him on the other side of the rim. So I do believe that chemistry certainly improving, and Mike's having a nice year thus far through 10 games.
Also, he talked about the ball sticking when they're not kind of doing their offensive thing, and it's interesting to hear him diagnose that, because that's exactly what it looks like as we're sitting here watching the game.
And I think the next step of progression, so Mike instantly said, you know, hey, the second half they switched everything. So typically, as you come off a ball screen and they switch it, even though you don't have a space advantage, you may have now a personnel advantage. Big guy steps out to guard you, Mike. That's where they have to double down, if you will, on penetration. And that is their way. If he can beat the big now off it, now you've got somebody that's got to step over and help. So even though they're switching and doing things different, the premise of what they want to get done remains the same. It's just being forceful enough to make that happen.
All right, let's go back to Detroit, where Rudy Gobert is addressing the media.
All right, we'll start with Tony Jones, The Athletic.
Rudy, this is a Mike and Donovan question. They seem to be to have some real synergy, you know, on the floor and cross lineups. You know, what's the rhythm between, you know, both of those guys, knowing when to kind of take the game over, knowing when to kind of let the other guy kind of eat off the dribble a little bit, you know, and when they're playing together, and obviously when each one of them are playing in different lineups and kind of running the team on their own.
I mean, I think it's a synergy that just comes with time. And, you know, last year was Mike's first year with us. You know, he had played his whole career with the same team in Memphis, and you know, I think he was trying to let himself adjust to us and the way we play, and he didn't want to step on nobody's toes, you know. And I think since the bubble, you know, he really found his mark, and also Donovan is growing as a, you know, as a leader and as a player, and he's aware of Mike. And, you know, when we're able to be aware of one another on the court, you just gain great chemistry.
All right, next up, Kristen Kenney, Jazz TV.
Rudy, when Donovan has a start like tonight, a first quarter like he had, how important is that, and how does that impact what you guys are all able to do?
It sets the tone, you know, whether it's offensively or defensively. You know, when we have a start of the game like we had today, it really sets the tone, and you know, it's something that we want to have every night. And the main thing for us is to be able to keep playing the right way, even when things don't go our way, like they did tonight. At some point they made a run, but we stay with it, we kept playing defense and we kept moving the ball offensively. And when we do that, we pretty good team.
Andy Larson, Salt Lake Tribune.
Rudy, the finishing maybe hasn't been for you where you want it to be over the last few games. As you kind of remember those plays, what do you want to be doing differently?
What
do you want to be doing differently as you remember those plays?
I mean, today there's a lot of things that I should have finished that I didn't. Obviously, the free throws also. You know, it's things that I know we come along. You know, but the main thing for me is to keep doing what I'm doing defensively, you know, and offensively keep getting my teammates open by either running the floor, setting screens, and then I'm going to be better finishing and creating opportunities. You know, it's there's some games like that when it happens, but, you know, it's on me to I'm going to watch film and see all the opportunities that I had, but I know that I had a few today that I should have finished and also the free throws.
All right, last question, Eric Walden, Salt Lake Tribune.
Rudy, Donovan said after the end of the Bucks game that if you guys didn't keep playing defense that way, then it wouldn't matter. Obviously, you come into Detroit and you have a pretty incredibly effective defensive performance. What were you guys doing that you liked? What still needs a little bit of work?
I mean, that's who we are. We know that there's going to be nights when the shots are not going to fall. And in the previous game that we've lost, we let that affect our defense. And our identity is to be a defensive team that then runs the floor and spreads the floor and we got a lot of shooters and we score a lot of our defense. So we know that, you know, when we bring in defensively, we give ourselves a chance to win every single night. And when we don't have a great shooting night like we had in Milwaukee, we're still in a position when we can dominate. And we did that tonight. You know, we had a great start. They came back, they kept grinding. And, you know, we stopped making shots. We started turning the ball over. But at the same time, we kept our physicality and we kept rebounding defensively. And we didn't let the offense affect our defense. And now we're in a position where we're able to win the game.
All right. That's all. Thank you, Rudy. We'll see you next time.
It's Rudy Gobert. That last part, Tim, I thought was really, really interesting where he said we didn't let our offense affect our defense, which certainly showed itself tonight. That's for sure.
And that's different. I mean, that's a win, right? That's some growth from this team. I agree. I think in games where, like, for instance, against Phoenix, against the Nets, when they weren't making shots, defense kind of went, you know, by the wayside. But tonight, that second half, they had to guard. They had to guard, and they had to throw themselves in the path, and they had to rebound and be really physical. I told you it was a really great win, and that's part of the reason why, because Quinn said, we figured out another way to win games, and that can't hurt when you're playing 72-game season.
All right, want to remind you, go where love takes you in the all-new, completely redesigned 2021 Subaru Outback, available now at Mark Miller Subaru, the official Subaru partner of the Utah Jazz. Learn more, markmillersubaru.com. Jazz beat the Pistons tonight, 96-86. We'll get to more player sound coming up next right here on the Jazz Radio Network. Jazz beat the Pistons this afternoon in Detroit, 96-86. Welcome on back, your Jazz Game Night postgame show brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru, Utah's only negotiation-free Subaru retailer. Jake Scott, Tim Lacombe with you. Thanks for making us a part of your day. Let's get a look at your Master of the Glass, brought to you by Safe Light Auto Glass, the local vehicle glass expert, ready for another great year of basketball and is proud to be the preferred auto glass partner of the Utah Jazz. Safe Light Auto Glass is also proud to present this year's Master of the Glass Rebound Program at the end of the regular season. Safe Light will donate $5 for each rebound secured by this year's team rebound leader. And, of course, your Master of the Glass tonight is Rudy Gobert, who I thought ended the game with 20 rebounds.
Yeah, they took one from him.
They took one from him. How about that? Rudy with 19 rebounds, 6 offensive. Just a great night on the boards for him. Certainly worth mentioning as well that Derek Favors, in 17 minutes, had 14 rebounds coming in off the bench, including 5 offensive rebounds. The Jazz had 16 total offensive rebounds. They had 63 total rebounds as opposed to Detroit's 39. That is dominance on the glass, Tim.
One of the three keys, might I add, to win
right on the money
the game. But definitely the one thing Quinn's got to feel great about is he's got, you know, the premier defensive center holding the fort down, who is also just an absolute beast on the glass. And then to be able to have Favors now, the guy you bring in off the bench, who is putting forth the effort. We joke a lot, but if, you know, I think it's David that says if he touches it, he gets it. And that's typically the issue. You know, watching him tonight in the offensive glass, tip that thing around till he can grab it. You never really worry that he's going to get it. So, yeah, between the big guys to have 33 rebounds, I guess, now that they took that one from Rudy, that is 33 of your 63 rebounds. That's huge.
So Favors is kind of the opposite of a Chicago Bears wide receiver.
Yes. If they touch it, from what the still pictures I've seen, I still haven't seen it completely live, but that looked like it should have been a TD.
Yeah. Trouble catching those. Interesting. Sorry, little Bears joke there. But Favors, it's pretty astounding how good his hands are around the rim and getting those boards. And he fits exactly what the Jazz need from that position, and just for it not to fall off when Rudy comes out of the game.
Yeah, I've driven that one into a wall in 3-10 games, so I'll stop talking about it as much. But for sure, to have Favors there now, somebody you totally trust, and then to be able to play the two together, which we've seen too, the Wasatch front, mm-hmm. Man, as long as they keep the rope, they are going to be good.
Let's get to your three-point feature, sponsored by Mountain America Credit Union, helping members achieve their financial dreams for more than 80 years. Tonight, it wasn't quite the three-point flurry that it was against the Bucks the other night, Tim, where they made 25 threes. Tonight, they made 11. They shot 35, 31.4%, led by Donovan Mitchell's 4 of 8. Clarkson was 3 of 7, Conley 2 of 4, Ingles 2 of 5. It looked like it was going to be another one of those nights the way it started off in the first quarter, but it just wasn't meant to be.
No, and again, it's really hard to match that. You know, they played so well against Milwaukee, came out. And when shots aren't falling, you know, it's you got to find another way, and the Jazz did that tonight, thank goodness. But this team's still going to be really heavily reliant on transition, early baskets, easy baskets, and the three-point shot.
Bogdanovich struggled again tonight. 3 of 11 from the field, 0 of 5 from 3. He had 7 points, 1 assist, and 6 rebounds. And, you know, I don't know what to say about Bogdanovich other than until his wrist is 100% all right, we might see some up-and-down play from him.
Yeah, it's a data point thing. You know, I said that a bunch last year with Conley. But you just have to go back and look at his numbers. Right now, he's shooting an all-time low from three thus far, 10 games through the season. But the thing you take confidence in is he's played since 2014, and his three-point shooting has been one of the real strong numbers. So I agree with you. I think once this heals and he gets a little bit more confidence with it, he's certainly going to shoot the ball better, and I don't worry about Bojan at all.
No, he's going to be fine. Let's go back to Detroit. Donovan Mitchell is addressing the media.
Sure, Todd, Deseret News.
Donovan, after you and Rudy signed your extensions, there's obviously external expectations that are raised for you guys, you know, because you're getting the lion's share of the salary cap. Do you feel pressure that you have to play to a certain level because you're one of the highest paid guys on the team?
Not really. I mean, at the end of the day, like, you know, pressure is what you make it, you know, and I think if you, especially the external pressure, I should say, I think the biggest thing, you know, if you allow that, you know, that to kind of play into your mindset, I think that's what kind of consumes you and it takes you out of the direction of the team. You know, at the end of the day, I know both of us, you know, team first guys, and we want to do anything that helps the team win. And that's really where our heads have been at. You know, I've heard it, you know, I'm the first person to say that, you know, and to kind of say like, there's a pressure that comes with this. Pressure, I think at the end of the day, is just something that, you know, personally, I love it. I like pressure. You know, I think That's why we play this game. You know, I think it's just the high intensity of it. And I think this is being paid is something that I'm able to take care of my family. You know, if anything, that's a relief. You know what I mean? I think that's being able to take care of my family in that way and, you know, just play the game and just go through it. You know, we can, you can say what you want, but I think at the end of the day, I think we're both focused on, you know, just doing whatever helps the team win. You know, we're going to have our ups and downs, but, you know, I don't know, he doesn't as well, doesn't really look at it as like, oh, you know, we got to go out there and, you know, be miraculous every night. You know, at the end of the day, you know, we're humans and we're going to make mistakes, but we're going to do really good things. As long as it's in the benefit of the team, I think we're both in good shape.
Christian Kenny, Jazz TV.
Don, I didn't get to see this during our interview, but what the heck, man? George Niang left you hanging there on that high five as you're walking off.
That was tough. That was tough. I know. We got into a fight afterwards. No, I'm kidding. You know, he just left me there. It was messed up. But you know, he made sure to get me back. And it was tough. They got that on camera for that long too. That was a tough one. I feel like Josh Hart.
All right, last question goes to Ryan Miller, KSL.com.
Hey, Donovan, just with the game being postponed today, a lot of teams playing with eight guys, what's kind of your reaction to the COVID stuff going on in the league?
Austin. What game got Boston and Miami got postponed?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, I didn't even know that. What's my reaction to that? Or
Yeah, and then kind of how do you guys handle that, just kind of moving forward with that kind of the possibility?
Well, I think the biggest thing is just, you know, that's life. You know, it's bigger than the game. It's not like something you can really do. And the biggest thing is just being cautious. You know, COVID's a real thing. It's around where it's our masks as much as possible. You know, be smart and just follow the rules, you know. And, you know, I'm not to say those teams weren't, you know, but at the end of the day, it may happen. You know, we can't – it's not like we're in the bubble where, you know, everybody's around each other. It's the same group of people. You know, we have family. The players in the league have family, have friends. You know, you go eat somewhere, it's out there. So you just got to be safe, you know. And fortunately, I don't have family that live with me, immediate family. So my, you know, my sense of, you know, what certain things aren't the same as, say, you know, a Jason Tatum or even Joe or a Mike Conley. Like, you know, I don't have kids at the house, right? So, like, I'm safe, staying safe. But, you know, those guys in particular, you know, that have families at the house, you know, have to, you know, a different level of a higher awareness, you know. I think so. You've got to be selfless and think for them, not just for myself. And I think that's all you can really do, you know. And just be thankful that, you know, where we are, and continue to just be safe.
All right, thanks, Don.
And Lamar Jackson won a playoff game, so I'm happy today.
Hey, Donovan Mitchell, a little shout out to, co Louisville alum, however you want to put that. Both went to Louisville. Lamar Jackson getting that. First playoff win, something that's eluded him past couple of years. Donovan, awesome game tonight, though. 28 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, but incredibly efficient, 9 of 18, 4 of 8 from 3, 6 of 7 from the line. And the Jazz sputtered at times, but he still played very, very well tonight.
Yeah, when you see Donovan making 50% of his shots and definitely the way he started the game, just totally on attack. He got himself to the line. That's another thing that the Jazz have struggled to do. They're really down in the league in terms of number of free throws taken per game. So for Donovan to get there 7 and just kind of start getting that piece of it going too, that's really big. So I really like the piece Donovan talked about too, about pressure and how it really is the reason everybody does what they do, why guys play. You know, they like the competition. They like the pressure. And it really, at the end of the day, pressure is what you make of it. You can either make you shrink or, you know, it can make you push harder and want more. And I feel like that's what it does for Donovan and Rudy.
You mentioned the Jazz not going to the line a lot this year, last in the league. Why is that, do you think?
I think it's because of, you know, they really do attack the rim a lot, but a lot of their attacks are for kicks. They really will drive the thing as opposed to finishing on their own. They'll kick, so there aren't as many probably shots that create that sort of issue, but it's something, you know, particularly in the fourth quarter, as Donovan gets to more, you know, as we get to tighter games and he's got to, you know, get to a spot in the fourth quarter where we can iso him and play through him, that's another piece that he'll add, and I guarantee he will. as the setting calls for it.
Donovan and Mike Conley tonight, the Jazz backcourt was a combined, and let me make sure I get my math right here, 17 of 31 and scored 50 points. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that one's a check. We'll check and move on. That's a good one.
That's not bad. And by the way, DeLon Wright, you know, who did a lot of filling in for Derrick Rose tonight, he's a good defender. And Detroit as a club is not a bad defensive team. So that's pretty good for those two.
The one area I could see that their defense really struggling is if Blake's got to make the rotation.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah,
rough. That's going to happen. Teams will start figuring that out and make him rotate and things like that. But, yeah, I agree with you. This team's physical, and they create issues, and they certainly, you know, switched everything, caused issues, but the Jazz played through it. As you said, it wasn't gorgeous, it wasn't pretty, but they win.
All right, coming up right around the corner, we'll wrap this one up, get you ready for the Jazz next ball game, which this road trip continues on. They'll be at Cleveland on Tuesday, so we'll put a bow on this one. We'll also get you play of the game. Go Where Love Takes You in the all-new, completely redesigned 2021 Subaru Outback, available now at Mark Miller Subaru, the official Subaru partner of the Utah Jazz. Learn more at markmillersubaru.com. Your final from Detroit, Jazz win over the Pistons, 96-86. More next, Jazz Radio Network.
Donovan driving, powering to the rack, double clutching at the rim and finishing for two. Donovan Mitchell seeing Jeremy Grant and thinking of the bubble and playing like it.
There you go, David Locke with your play of the game, brought to you by Larry H. Miller Dealerships for service, sales, and selection, LHMauto.com. Driven by you. It's your Jazz Game Night post-game show. 96-86 is your final. The Jazz beat the Pistons. Jake Scott, Tim Lacombe with you. It's brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru, Utah's only negotiation-free Subaru retailer. And Donovan was great tonight. We talked a lot, heard from him, in the last segment. He was 28 points, 9 of 18 shooting, 3 assists, and 2 rebounds. And it, correct me if you didn't feel this way, Tim, but it didn't feel like he got 28, but it didn't feel like he was playing hero ball. Even when the offense got bogged down a little bit, it didn't feel like other nights. You know, I'm thinking about the New York games against the Knicks and the Nets. It felt like Donovan felt this almost pressure that he had to go win it. And maybe that was true, but it didn't feel that way tonight. He had 28 points on a really efficient 9 of 18 shooting.
Just like it's, you know, guys learn how to dribble and pass. And, you know, there is a learning curve to being the guy. And this is the year. I think Donovan obviously has kind of been put in that spot. And really, I think all his teammates around him support that. You know, I think Rudy and he are great leaders, but I think Rudy is a little less vocal, you know, in a lot of ways. And Donovan's the one that's out there kind of being the leader. So these are steps that he's taken forward. You know, I agree with you. I think him around 18 shots and being on attack like he was, getting to the line and making assists, he has a very well-rounded game. And my expectation is that we'll see more nights like this as opposed to ones where he feels like it's all on him and he's got to do it himself.
Mike Conley added 22 tonight. He also had 6 assists. He was even more efficient. 8 of 13, 2 of 4 from 3. And Mike, outside of, and I'm trying to remember what game he struggled in, but outside of one, maybe two games so far this year, Mike Conley has looked great.
So I just want to compare, you know, last year to this year in some areas. Obviously, last year was talked about a ton with Mike and his, you know, his struggles or his inability early on to kind of to click with everybody. You know, those days are over. He's shooting 43% from the field, which is near a career high for him. He's shooting 42% from three, which is, you know, if the season were in right now, that would be the highest 3-point percentage he's ever had. He's getting to the line and making free throws, and he's averaging just over 5.7 assists per game. So all of those things, and we talked about it last year when everybody got frustrated and freaked out, it does take time. And if you do look at a whole body of work and say, hey, this is kind of what you can expect, most of the time it'll kind of circle back to that.
Jordan Clarkson had 18 coming in off the bench, 7 of 15 shooting, 3 of 7 from 3. He had 4 rebounds. Joe Ingles back after missing just one game. He starts a new streak, starts at 1. 9 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 of 6 shooting, 2 of 5 from 3, and he was good, particularly in the first half.
Yeah, he's just a catalyst of ball movement and team play. It was nice to see Joe back out there. I wish, you know, for his sake, I know how much he loved that, you know, kind of badge for to be able to carry that around. I know how much the fans related to it and everything else, but it's nice that he's feeling better, and he did look good while the minutes he was out there.
For the Pistons, Jeremy Grant, 28 points, 9 of 19 shooting, 3 of 6 from 3, 7 of 8 from the line, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. And Blake Griffin, 10 points on 4 of 12 shooting, 6 rebounds, 5 assists and 1 steal. And, you know, maybe I just don't watch enough Pistons basketball, Tim, but I was just really surprised that he's a completely different player than he was a couple years ago.
Yeah, I still believe the play of the game, the not-so play of the game, was the Plumlee shot fake. Dump it out to Blake as the shot goes down, and he fires one from near logo. Catch and shoot 3. I don't think that's what they're trying to do, but
it's not his shot.
You got you and I to laugh a little bit. And he's certainly, hey, look, that's what age does, man. It makes guys like me get a little chunky around the midsection. It gets guys like him who once was, you know, athleticism and moving around was the thing he did. And, you know, now he's got to play a little smarter with his head.
Making the Clippers look extremely smart for moving him when they did.
Him and that humongous pile of cash.
Boy, that was a cold-blooded deal, though. You remember before he signed that deal, the Clippers did this big presentation. He's going to retire a Clipper and do all this and that, and he gets traded like 2 months later. And I remember he said something about that. He was like, geez, I guess you don't buy it when they roll out the big show for you. But honestly, the Clippers did him a huge favor because, I mean, he's going to make almost $40 million next year.
Yeah, I wonder if he needs like a concierge or something, if he's paying good for the final year.
I'd be his gopher. Yeah. Or, you know,
I'll be the mule.
I'd take that job. Whatever you need. I'm on it. Don't worry about it. All right, let's get some final thoughts from you, Tim, on this one before we put it behind us.
Another great road win, and I think anyone you can get on the road is great. You know, the Jazz played great in stretches and not so great in stretches, but the key was, like Quinn said, they found another way to win. Their defense was aggressive and energetic and locked in for most of the night, and they did what they had to do to get the win. They get a nice day off. They better be ready to take care of the ball because Tuesday night they play the Cavs and they sell out to steal the ball. Turnovers will be a huge issue in that game, live ball particularly. So it's nice for the Jazz to be able to get this one, get some rest, and get ready for Tuesday against the Cavs.
Thanks to David Locke and Ron Boone, doing fine work calling all the action tonight as usual. Thanks to Alex Lumberg, executive producer of Jazz Game Night. Thanks to our title sponsor of the postgame, that's Mark Miller Subaru. Go where love takes you in the completely redesigned 2021 Subaru Outback, available now at Mark Miller Subaru, the official Subaru partner of the Utah Jazz. Learn more at markmillersubaru.com. Tim, thank you very much, sir. Always good to see you on a Sunday afternoon.
Yep, and it's nice to see that clock say 4:30. We're typically closer to 4:30 a.m.
Yeah, right.
So this is nice right here.
Get to go home, yep. Have a little Sunday dinner.
Watch the last football game.
Yeah, that doesn't sound terrible, does it?
You and I have the Browns in that one, I think.
We do. Okay. We do in our little big show bit that is not going well for really anybody. Although you had the Colts. Yesterday.
Yeah, I hope one win doesn't do it at us.
It might.
Yeah, but it could.
It might. Where I'm 0-3-1. So not terrific. Not terrific at all. Next broadcast, Tuesday night. The Jazz will be in Cleveland to take on the Cavs. That game will tip off at 5:30. Pregame begins at 4:30. And, of course, you'll hear it all right here on the Jazz Radio Network.